All right, children. Children, come on up. You guys have a seat right there on the steps. We're going to play a little game. This is going to be tough with just a small group. All right, we're going to play a game called Who Do You Trust? All right, you guys willing to do that? Who wants to go? No? Come on. Come here. All right. This is going to be a really simple answer, okay? I want you to think about who's in this group. What I'm going to have you do is stand here and close your eyes and fall backwards. Who do you want to catch you in this group? Who do you want to catch you in this group? You want Chloe to catch you? You think she can? How about if you trust me? Let's make this easy. All right. Now, because you want to trust somebody that you know is not going to run off and go play with a doll or go to the bathroom and get a drink while you're falling backwards, right? Huh? No? All right, you ready? Okay, close your eyes and fall backwards. If you don't hurry, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. Come on. You got to trust me. Ready? Go. Come on. Oh, that was only half-hearted. Let's go. Wholeheartedly. Let's go. Come on. One more try. You're still only half-hearted. I haven't let you fall yet, right? Okay. Here we go. All the way. Just fall. Yay! Well, the story in our Bible this morning, is if you look up on the screen, is a story of Abraham and Isaac. Do you know who they are? Abraham is Isaac's dad. And Abraham loved Isaac more than anything in the whole world. He and Sarah had waited a long time to have a baby boy. And so God told Abraham, though, to take Isaac up onto the mountain and sacrifice him to God. And so they left on a three-day journey. They took wood and they took rope, and they went up to the altar on the mountain. And on the way, Isaac said, "Hey, Daddy, we have all the wood and the rope and everything we need for a sacrifice, but where's the sacrifice?" And God said, "I'll provide." And so they got to the top of the mountain, and Abraham tied Isaac up and laid him on the altar and took his knife up in the air and got ready to sacrifice him. And God said, "Stop!" He said, "Abraham, I know that you trust me wholeheartedly now." And so he said, "I'll provide." And over in the bushes, there was a ram caught in the thorns by his horns. So they got the ram, and they sacrificed it instead. Abraham told Isaac that God would provide for them their needs. Do you guys trust that God will provide for everything you need? Not everything you want. Everything you need, yeah. And so we do. We trust him wholeheartedly. That means we don't bend our knees and fall only partway, but that we completely trust in God. All right, let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you that this morning we can come to you in complete confidence and trust, knowing that you have fulfilled the promises in the Bible to this point, and we know that you will continue to fill those promises for us in the future. We ask that you would watch over us and bless us. Help us to trust in you and you alone. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys are off to Kids Connect. Well, Sherry and I hope that you had a great 4th of July. We were able to get away for a little bit. Go share 4th of July with our daughter and her husband from North Dakota. We met him in Sioux Falls, and we witnessed a bad accident there. We were, our hotel was across the street from a convenience store, and we saw a woman as we were getting ready to leave one day. She was smoking a cigarette and pumping gas into her car, and her arm caught on fire. And about that time, an off-duty policeman happened to pull in the parking lot, and he went over and tackled her and poured coffee on her arm and got the fire out. And before the ambulance could get there, then we saw him handcuffing her. We couldn't figure out what was going on. And then we found out later that he arrested her for waving a firearm. Going to need a lot of grace for that one. We have been, again, studying the letter in Hebrews. It's been most of the focus of this year, with a few breaks here and there. And today I want to take another short break. Remember that the letter has been about encouragement to a group of people who have been being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. And at this point, the author is writing to them because he's afraid that they're going to turn away from their newfound faith in Jesus and go back to the old way, the law of Moses, the high priest, the sacrificial system, because they've been persecuted so badly for their faith. But I want to tell you that they didn't have a sure faith yet. That's the title of our message today, a sure faith. They were still growing in this faith, weren't fully convinced or persuaded that Jesus was the better way. Well, last week, if you were here, you heard Brandon Crouch, our navigator missionary at University of California, Riverside, tell you that his prayer request for this year was to be more like Caleb. And press him why, and he said because God said that Caleb had followed him wholeheartedly. When the people were on the Exodus coming out of Egypt, they complained that the land promised them was too difficult. It was occupied by much larger people. The terrain was too difficult, the mountains too big, and the cities were fortified, and there was no way that they could go in and take this land that had been promised to them for so long by God. And see, they too had a lack of sure faith. That is, all of them except. Scripture says, my servant Caleb has a different spirit, and he follows me wholeheartedly. I will bring him into the land he went into, and his descendants will inherit it. You see, Caleb actually believed God, trusted that when God said this land will be yours, this promised land is actually that. He trusted him. He believed in him. And so God blessed Caleb in a mighty way. And again, it's made sure in his faith. And it was in this spirit of faith, he says, that I will give you this land. And at this point in our scripture today in Joshua chapter 14, it's in this spirit of sure faith that Caleb goes to Joshua and he says, give me this mountain. If you have King James or New King James, it says, give me this mountain. Other translations like NIV and NLT say this hill country. But you know, when you're facing a big mountain, you need more than just stubbornness to succeed in climbing it. According to a source called Everest History, over 375 people have died trying to climb Mount Everest. From 1977 to 2015, there was only 1 year in which somebody didn't die trying to reach the peak of Mount Everest. And in that year, only two people even succeeded. There's avalanches, there's ice collapse, there's frostbite, lack of oxygen near the top of the mountain, of course. Those are all obstacles that you face in trying to get there. You need skill, you need knowledge, you need teamwork, everything to get to the top of the mountain. In some ways, our life is like that mountain. There are many things that we, challenges and problems that we have to overcome. We often talk about those mountains that we're facing, or making mountains out of molehills. So we have this idea that these are difficult to do. Faith in Christ and dedication, following him wholeheartedly, as scripture says Caleb did, can provide the strength we need to conquer those mountains in our life. So whether it was mountains or just hill country before him, it didn't matter. Caleb knew that this land was filled with giant people who were much bigger and stronger than his people. There was going to be these heavily fortified cities, but yet he was sure in his faith that God had promised him that it was going to be his and his people. Some of you have mountains, I know, in your life right now. Some of them may be relational. Some of them might be financial. In this group today, a great many of them might be known, that mountain known as health problems as we get older. but they're all there. And so how do we wholeheartedly follow God in the midst of these mountains that we are facing? So we take a look at Caleb today, because it's a great aspiration that Brandon had, to be more like Caleb in our faith. And the first thing that we know is that Caleb had a confident faith. God had promised this to me. Now, I don't know if any of you have probably watched many of the Matrix movies. I know I haven't seen all of them, and I haven't watched a whole one. But there's one great scene in the Matrix where Morpheus, who is kind of the leader of the underground, he's kind of a spiritual teacher of the group, and he finds this young man named Neo, who he believes is the savior of the people. Now, I can tell you, much like our world today in the movie The Matrix, not everybody, in fact, almost everybody else, didn't believe that this Neo was the promised deliverer. And so Morpheus is standing before the council, and they ask him about to defend his actions in picking Neo as this one who was supposed to deliver them. And the main anti-hero says, "Not everyone believes what you believe, Morpheus." And Morpheus looks at him very calmly and confidently and says, "My faith doesn't require that they do." What a great line. My faith doesn't require that everybody believes exactly the way I do. His faith isn't based on convincing other people that he's right. His faith isn't weakened when other people challenge him about what he believes. His faith doesn't change to get the approval of culture. And I wonder at times, in this day and age, if we can say the same thing about our faith. If we don't bend our faith a little bit or take away some of our faith to meet approval from other people or to meet the approval of culture. And I hope not. I hope that you can say the same thing, that my faith doesn't depend on what other people believe. See, our faith should depend upon a relationship with Jesus Christ, not other people. My faith should be demonstrated when I share about Jesus Christ, who he is to me, what he's done for me, and what he's going to do in the future. Culture should not define my trust and faith in Jesus Christ. So it's my prayer too that we all have a confident faith like Caleb, that we can boldly say this. "So that day Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land, and that your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness." And it's cool. Caleb comes and he reminds Joshua. He says that 45 years ago, Moses told me that this land was going to be my land. Moses had sent Joshua and Caleb and 10 other spies into the country to check it all out. God had promised them this land, but the other 10 didn't believe. They were faithless that God had promised them this land, and it could be victory, could be theirs. And so Joshua and Caleb were relegated to another position. But Moses made this promise, a promise from God, that this mountain or hill country where the Anakim lived, these great big people lived, was going to be Caleb's reward for a faithful life. So Caleb's faith was sure, while the faith of others was unsure. And because of this unsure faith, this faithfulness of other people, the Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years. For 40 years, Caleb and Joshua, who were faithful to God, had to wander in the wilderness because of these, give me grace, Lord, faithful knuckleheads. They had to suffer. Other people who believed had to suffer. And unfortunately, in groups of people, when there are some who are faithless or don't have a sure faith, other people will suffer along with them. But this didn't hamper Caleb's faith. It didn't weaken his faith. He believed that God would deliver on these promises no matter what, because he had a sure faith. Sometimes we put our faith in the wrong things. Sometimes we put our faith in church leaders who will make some mistakes or let you down. Sometimes we're heavily disappointed when church people say mean things or they ask carelessly. So all of us become disappointed in people at one time or another. And the honest truth is that sometimes those can weaken our faith because of those incidents. Not so with Caleb. Caleb has this great faith. And that's why we need to put our faith in Jesus Christ the better way. Even Paul, the great apostle, writing because his heart is broken, said that one of his faithful friends had forsaken him and gone to follow the world. But Paul didn't quit preaching the gospel because Demas did. He continued with even more sure faith and more conviction. Today, just as it was then, it's a shame that the faithfulness of people can cause other people not to believe or not to be confident that God will fulfill his promises to us. And so waiting on God became the thing that Caleb did, this great promise. Waiting didn't cause his faith to dwindle. Caleb learned this great idea about patience. He had to wander in the wilderness because a majority of the people would not believe in the promises of God. And so he waited 40 plus years for his promise to come to pass. 40 years he waited and wandered in the wilderness. The book of James says, you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. That tells me that my patience is going to be tested until the day I step into the arms of Jesus at the gates of heaven. Because that's when we'll be complete. That's when we will be perfect. And that continues to be my greatest struggle, is patience. So I don't pray for patience anymore because I know I'll have to have something to test it. But like Caleb, I don't have that great faith that Caleb has sometimes because I want things now. I don't want to wait. I want to see the promises of God today. Caleb had a sure faith, a confident faith, but he also had an unfaltering faith. Human will is the strongest will ever created, author Sherry Kenyon says. There are those who are born to succeed and those who are determined to succeed. The former fall into it, the latter pursue it at all costs. They won't be denied. Nothing daunts them. In spite of Caleb's old age, he is determined. So we can count him among the latter in Sherry Kenyon's quote. He's not going to be deterred. He is not going to let anything stop him from claiming his promise. At 85 years old, he's not satisfied with talking about past victories. He's looking forward to future victories that have been promised to him. He's been faithful, and he knows that God is going to be faithful to keep his promise, to give him that mountain, to give him this promised land. I think far too many Christians starve spiritually because they don't trust in the promises of God, and they live with doubt, and they live with fear. Caleb has this sure faith. It didn't falter in spite of the difficulties that he faced. He knew that this mountain that he was asking to claim was going to be difficult, that the people were bigger and stronger, that these fortified cities were there, but he didn't ask for an easy way. He didn't say, hey, God, just give it to me. And I think for us, we can see that today, this is kind of the desire that the author of Hebrews has for those people who are facing persecution. He wants them to have a sure faith. In the midst of the persecution and in the struggle, he wants those people to follow wholeheartedly as well. He wants them to follow completely and fully. And I think that sometimes we don't follow wholeheartedly because the truth of the matter is sometimes Christianity, our faith is difficult. I mean, even though God calls this the promised land, there was nothing easy about getting it. There were still going to be some difficulties in claiming the land. Jesus made a quick return to earth for a visit, and he came upon a lame man, and he had compassion on him and healed his leg. A little bit farther down the road, he came upon a blind man, and he had compassion on him, and he healed him. And a little further down the road, Jesus came upon a man sitting on the curb, crying his heart out. And Jesus asked him what was wrong. And the man said, "I'm a pastor." And Jesus sat down beside him, put his arm around him, and cried with him. If we're honest today, there are days when I feel like that. Mondays, especially Mondays, if you don't know it, is the number one day that pastors resign from ministry. There are days like Sundays when today, this afternoon, will be consumed by meetings that I cry like that. There are days on annual business meetings. But I can tell you this, that there's no place I'd rather be right now than here at First Baptist Church in Augusta. I believe that God had this place in mind long before Sherry and I ever decided to move back from the Manhattan area to be close to family. And so I do my best wholeheartedly most of the time. But there are times when I fall short, when I run out of patience with procedures and practices and people. Many people are turned away from their faith because they think that things are too difficult in our Christian faith. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus told him, "Put your faith in Jesus, put your faith in me rather than in your material goods, in your earthly possessions." And the young ruler thought that was too difficult, and he turned away from Jesus, refusing eternal life in Christ. It is difficult for us to win people to Christ. It is difficult for us to discipline ourselves. It is difficult for us as Christians often to be big when others are little, to love the unlovely, and to become more Christ-like. It's not an easy task, and it never was intended to be. Paul writes to his young friend Timothy, he says, "Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." A little bit earlier than that, he had wrote in 1 Timothy, "Fight the good fight for faith." And it tells me that there are some struggles. This is Paul, who no other man is probably more responsible for the spread of Christianity than Paul. But it tells me that there's always going to be difficulty in following the Lord wholeheartedly, that there will always be tough sledding. There's always going to be a mountain that needs to be conquered. There's always going to be a battle that needs to be fought. See, too often we get saved and then we go, after a little while of serving, we go sit in our spiritual lazy boy and don't do much else. Wait for the day. And we hope that on that day then that the Lord will say, "Well done." There are times when we get saved and then we just don't continue to serve. We get comfortable. We don't want to get out of our boat. We don't want to take any more risks, especially for the kingdom. We don't share the gospel because somebody says we can't do it. It's not right. It's objectionable. It's not inclusive. It doesn't include everybody. And so we stop because it's difficult. And yet we still want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I'm going to ask you to remember this morning the words of the servant who didn't do what he was supposed to do. And the master called him a wicked, lazy servant. Remember, our salvation is not for us to just sit and wait. Our salvation is that we can go out and to serve in this eternal life that God has given us. See, Caleb had an unfaltering faith. He trusted. 40 years plus in the desert, he continued unfaltering faith. But there's one more characteristic I think that we could do well to mimic, and that is Caleb had a steadfast fellowship in faith. Steadfast meaning firm in person. He was firm in his faith, but fellowship as in community. In May of 1953, two men became the first in history to top that Mount Everest. Edmund Hillary, who was a New Zealand beekeeper and explorer, and his Sherpa guide from Nepal, Tenzing Norgay. They reached the summit together, first people, and they were given immortality, international fame for doing that. But on the way down this 29,000-foot peak, Hillary had a chance where he started to fall. And Tenzing took his ice pick and forcefully jammed it into the ice and held onto the rope and broke his fall. And when they got down to the bottom, Hillary told everybody about what had happened. And so all of a sudden, Tenzing is this hero, and questions are being lobbed at him, and they're being bombarded. And all of this, he just remains very calm. Doesn't get too excited and doesn't get caught up in all of his newfound fame. He acts very professional. And every time they asked him a question, he said, mountain climbers always help each other. Mountain climbers always help each other. It's the way it should be for us as Christian brothers and sisters, helping each other climb the mountains together. This companionship that they had, this is the same companionship that Caleb had with Joshua. And he went to Joshua and he said, Joshua, remember, this is to be my mountain. Give me that mountain. And Joshua blessed him. Didn't try to talk him out of it. He didn't try to keep him from fulfilling God's promise. He blessed him. Without close friends, without a church community to help us fulfill our ambitions, to oversee our difficulties and our struggles, to help us with our anxiety, it's important that we have that same steadfast fellowship with one another. The companionship of co-laborers in Christ together is a necessity. See, that's one thing Caleb knew. He knew that he had a group of people who would be loyal to him and would help him in this battle to claim the promised land that God had given them, despite the circumstances that they faced. We all need somebody. There are no lone rangers in the Christian faith. But yet there's still one more relationship that we must be steadfast in. Yep, it's true that God's people, we must labor together, we must pray together, we must do mission together, we should love together and cry together, climb our mountains together, but the relationship that we need more than anything else is this relationship that we're called to with Jesus. God is faithful, it says in 1 Corinthians, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. John writes, we proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. So he first inserts that we have this fellowship together as believers. But then he says, and our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So we need this companionship of two. When Jesus sent out the disciples, he sent them out two by two. He didn't send them out one by one. And so we need this companionship, this fellowship of two. We need each other, but we need Jesus Christ even more. It is the most important relationship that we can have. When I do premarital counseling, the one thing that I always tell every couple, as much as they're excited about getting married, the most important relationship that they can ever have individually is with Jesus Christ. And that relationship will bring them even closer together. Caleb knew this. Even as he wandered in the desert, he knew that God was going to be with him and fulfill his promise to him. He knew he felt God's presence in these 40 years of wandering in the desert. He knew that God was still going to be with him. So Caleb lives this life of sure faith despite the obstacles that he had within even his community. He knew that there were 10 spies who had gone with them that turned against him and didn't believe in the promises. At this point, Caleb is 85 years old. He's not satisfied looking back at the past. He is still looking forward to the promises of God. And he still knows that he's got to deal with those Anakim. But yet, his faith and the Lord sustains him. He is counting on 40 plus years for God to fulfill his promises to him. This morning, I want to ask you a question. A couple of them, really. Is there some mountain, is there something, some obstacle in your life that you're waiting to have victory over? Maybe it's been 40 plus years. Is there some promise that you still have not received or claimed yet? Are there some turbulent waters that you're trying to wade through today? Are there some unanswered questions that you have, even though you've been sending up prayer after prayer after prayer? Well, know that this, that Christ promised us an abundant life. He did not promise us a trouble-free life. He did not promise us a life rich in material goods or finances, but he promised us an abundant life. Be confident in the promises of Jesus Christ. Maybe You haven't been confident in your faith. You haven't stepped into the Jordan River yet. Remember, when they were getting ready to go into the promised land, it was a flooding stage, and God said, look, step into the water first. Then we'll stop the turbulent waters. Show me your faith, and I will go. Caleb had that confidence. He had that unfaltering faith. He had a steadfast fellowship, not only with the believers, but with God. And I think it is only in this way that we can continue to fight the battles that we fight and to claim the mountains that we have to claim as Christians. Galatians chapter 6 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, I don't know when the promises that you're hoping to have fulfilled come. I don't know when the turbulent rivers of your life are going to be calm. I don't know when your unanswered questions are going to get answered, but Scripture says that at just the right time, in the proper time, God will provide all of those for us if we do not give up, if we don't let our faith falter, if we have confidence that Christ will do this. We're all very quick to hold on to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. We love that promise. But if we go down two more verses, we find a caveat that we have to understand for all of that. In verse 13, it says this, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. The plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. If we follow him wholeheartedly, we will find him. Again, this thing that Caleb says, follow wholeheartedly. And when we begin to find something in the Bible more than once or twice, I think we have to understand that that means it's important, that there's something to it, that we follow wholeheartedly. I have no doubt that everybody that's in here this morning wants to be a person that God blesses. Seek him wholeheartedly. Seek him wholeheartedly in your worship. Seek him wholeheartedly in your discipleship. Seek him wholeheartedly in your serving. Not your past serving, serving today and in the future. Witnessing, serve him wholeheartedly in evangelism. Serve him wholeheartedly in giving and in praying. And if you really want to serve, you know, throw in some fasting as well. Serve him wholeheartedly. Seek him wholeheartedly in your fasting. You want to be a person that God blesses. Seek him wholeheartedly. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this promise of grace that you have given to each and every one of us. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. But in that, we are not to rest on our laurels. In our confidence in you and in the promises that you have for each and every one of us, there are still going to be mountains to climb. There are still going to be battles that need to be won. And in doing so, despite whatever bad relationships we have, whatever financial difficulties we face, whatever health problems we face, Lord, help us to have an unfaltering faith. That others may come to see your Son, Jesus Christ, through this confidence that we have. That despite our difficulties, despite the problems that we face, we still follow you wholeheartedly. No shadow of doubt creeps into our faith that we continue to fight wholeheartedly. And I know, Father, even for me, there are days when that is difficult to do. And so I ask that beginning with me and through all of our church leadership, that you would continue to strengthen us, give us courage, that we can all be like Caleb. That no matter what we face, no matter the trials, the struggles, the difficulties with people, whatever it might be, we pray that you would help us to serve you with an unfaltering, confident, a sure faith each and every day. We know that we can do this because you have fulfilled the greatest promise, and that is to provide a Savior, the Messiah, to come, suffer the penalty for our sins, that we would have the hope of eternal life in heaven with you. And if you're willing to fulfill that promise at the expense of your one and only Son, Lord, what other promises will you not fulfill for us today? We love you and we thank you for that promise and its fulfillment. And I pray that if there's anybody here this morning, Lord, that has not accepted or claimed that promise of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, his death on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins, that you would speak into their heart today. That they would want to know more about how they can experience this salvation, not only for eternity, but to live in it day to day, to claim this abundant life that Christ has promised us. Pray that you would speak to them, that they would feel free to come forward as we get ready to sing or turn to their neighbor or meet me in the library, that we may share more with them about this great faith. We love you. We ask that you would watch over us and bless us. Continue to encourage us moment by moment and day by day, that we too might seek you wholeheartedly like Caleb. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.